I am unashamed. What about you?
We don't look spiritual at all. Mm-hmm. We have no Bible.
Yeah, where's your Bible?
Never.
There we go. Look at this.
Look, never go to a confrontation unarmed.
Where are we at in Acts?
Well, I was just...
John.
I was just browsing.
John 18. Go ahead.
Yeah, so y'all didn't bring a Bible. They got the little set Bible there.
I'm always
good luck
on.
Reading that. Yeah. Can you even see that? I would have to have readers to the power of five to be able to read that.
And John chapter what?
Like, have you seen that movie?
I was actually going to ask you just to kind of get a little heads up.
So well, but
interject.
Tony, you can tell based on our pre-filming conversation.
That's actually, we have this with that. We're actually filming, by the way.
That just happened so you know. 60 okay. seconds ago.
Yeah.
Now that you've been on air for the last minute.
Is this mic on?
Yeah. As far
the
as
the plan
know.
Is, there is no plan.
There's no plan.
No. So,
and that's one thing I like about this family. There's no rules. No plan and no rules. And that's taken some time to get used
so,
to.
So, Grace, but you always should have yourself armed, especially if you're
sure.
down here. And I meant, you know, with the sword.
So, you guys, this is Phyllis's second time on Unashamed. But ironically, you're in the lair for the first time.
Right.
The new setting, because the old podcast setting is now your bedroom.
Right.
You know, which we've mentioned that on the podcast. And so there's a master bathroom just off the bedroom, obviously. And that's where our sound engineer had all his equipment in the bathroom. I was like, we were the only podcast in America where the sound engineer was working out of the bathroom. I mean, I have to think nobody else has that set up.
And you're so fancy now. It seems.
Well, yeah, look at it now. We've got our little lair here.
Nice. Have you thought about knocking out this wall, putting in like a live studio audience out here, putting some chairs in?
You know, and we could get
some tickets.
We could get some of the meth heads down the street to come and sit in and watch. That'd be really great. I'm sure.
Let them sit in the four wheeler.
Yeah,
that's right. Actually, we could probably sell that experience. We could probably do pretty well.
Distancing.
that's an audience to nowhere out there. Half the people would get turned around before they even got down here.
True.
And the rest of them would probably
I'm
get
double
shot
parked
at.
Right now. So,
so Tony, this is your first time.
It
this is.
Is
Tony, the husband of Phyllis, or is what his dad say, Phyllis's man.
Phyllis's man.
My
Phyllis's man.
Man.
Right.
Or when he's talking to you, it's your woman, right?
That's, right.
Yes, that's the reference.
For sure.
So Dad... you were saying something earlier. I want you to tell the audience that happened this week when Tony came into your house. I think it's a good microcosm of our whole growing up situation. You remember what you told us when he came in?
Yeah, well, it's. I tried to remember if anyone else had ever done that.
I don't remember what.
But in my 74 geez. Years, I've never had someone walk up and say, "Today's my birthday." And I'm like, I said, so.
Oh.
But then it occurred to me, I said, well, you need to ask him how old he is. Boy, how old are you? He said, 51. I'm like, 51? Yep, you're on the top of the mountain. You're going off.
Sliding down.
You're
We're
going
the same
down
age,
the,
don't
you're going
we
down
are.
The far
yeah.
slope.
Yeah.
Okay, you are yeah. the same age.
Half a century.
Yeah. So I thought that was so. Jet, what'd you say, Jess? You was like,
that sums up my whole life.
That one conversation is the whole kit and caboodle.
It is. Wife, it's two families coming together, family culture, conversation. Mm-hmm. It's different.
It Missy will send me a text when it's my dad's birthday, and she said, it's your dad's birthday today. I said, he don't care. But she always does that.
Right. Like, you need
like,
to be sure.
What, am I going to call him and wish him happy birthday? Because that would get extremely awkward. I said, I'll think of something.
But if I said 51 and 9 months,
yeah,
that speaks to us.
That's yeah. more accurate.
Yeah.
yeah.
Which yeah. is true. Mm-hmm. Well, Dad's just never, Dad doesn't like to celebrate things, anything, really. I mean, just, you know. I guess Christmas we liked because it's Jesus and we get our family together. But Dad's just never been much on it. So I know it makes him awkward. Well, I don't want to make him awkward. Like, because Lisa will say, well, are you going to say something to your dad about his birthday? I said, no, he doesn't want to talk about his birthday. Like, especially, I don't know when you passed the year you were like now. It's like, well, you know, I'm
once you hit 74 and you realize that the average age of a male lives to be 77, you're like, let's see, 44, 45, 46. It's not something I'm jumping up and down about when they say, you're another year older. That's just 1 year that's behind
I'll
you.
I'll confess, I've never liked the concept anyway. If we went back and had Conception Day, maybe that would be better, because then it would maybe people wouldn't take the life of unborn children. But to me, the spiritual birthday, you know, when you're baptized, I like it when people come up to me and they'll say, I remember, and they'll say a date, and I'm looking around like,
I said,
is that your birthday? And they're like, yeah. And they're like, you don't remember, you know, baptize me, which.
It's the Korean culture who counts the 9 months in utero.
Yeah, I knew there was a culture that did it.
Mm-hmm. They do. I'm pretty sure.
I think that's great.
Like that. I thought I had come up with something nobody had thought of.
Problem is with your plan, Jace, is that how do you even sing that? Happy Conception Day to you. Happy Conception Day to you. Happy Conception Day, dear seedling.
No, duh, older brother. You can still say birthday because it's the day you were born, sort of.
Because you got out of the womb, which is the only part we met, the guy that used to lived up where y'all are living, and he says he can remember being in the womb.
Yep. I asked him, I said, when he told me that, I studied him for a little bit. By the way, he was a artist.
And here it comes. We've already started.
He's an artist. And I said, how was it? And he said, it was dark and it was warm. I said, dark and warm. I said, well, did you remember coming out of there? He said, I do. He said, it was like the light at the end of a tunnel. And he said, what I didn't realize, he said, when I came out, he said, they had these big lights, like a huge light. And he said, I remember looking up at it, it was getting in my eyes. He said, I was squalling like a baby.
Well, I think all I remember that story, because I was in the duck blind when he shared that story, and I think it was Jay Stone said, well, at least we know what your problem is now. And he said, what? And Jay said, you're a bald-faced liar.
Can you imagine saying that?
Yeah. I'd count on that.
Well, I can tell you this. The moral of the story here for me is that you got to be careful what you say in the Robertson's house, because it'll end up on a podcast.
There's no secrets here.
Oh, yeah, there's no secrets.
But that's biblical. We talked about that last podcast. Jesus said, I said nothing in secret.
Right.
So we've taken that.
That's good.
Well, we have. And so one of the things I'll tell our audience, because Lisa and I spent a lot of time with Tony and Phyllis, is that one of the things I love the most about Tony is, you know, you can come into this setting and be a little intimidated, you know, because of the way everybody is and sarcasm and all the stuff we do. But Tony just rolls with it. And, I mean, obviously he's been married to Robertson for 44 years, so I know why.
I was going
to
say, you have no idea.
I have every idea. And so, but that's what I love about you, Tony. I mean, I can throw Tony under the bus, and he's just rolling right out, and we're laughing about it.
I've just been preparing you all these years.
I tell you, and I told you, you have me on here, and I'm going to cost you a fortune in editing.
It's all right. We got one of the best over there.
Editing's about like the plan. It doesn't happen much.
We find it's better to just leave it all natural. You know, it's just like Dad's yard. You know? Why do you really need to manicure?
Why are they kicking on your yard? I don't know.
Well, he just lets... Phil's greatest line of all... If I had a top 10 Phil lines...
And he's had a lot of...
I have one that I'm not sure where it is, because I have to put something spiritual above this. But one of the top 5 lines that Phil ever said was when someone asked him, they said, how often do you mow your grass? And Phil said, the frost will get it. I had to stop and think about that. Oh, that's a good line, Phil.
That actually could be on a t-shirt there.
The problem is when I tried that line with my lovely new wife, Missy, she didn't think that was funny.
Because you were living in a subdivision in town.
I said, the frost will get it. She's just looking at me. I thought, with crickets. Okay, maybe that was a private job. I guess you had to be there.
But you tested it out. You tried it out.
Didn't work.
Yeah. Crickets.
The thinking behind mowing grass invariably
is like shaving.
You do it so when others drive by, they will say, that's
it. Yeah, he's a civilized. That's what I'm saying. There's two things I noticed.
You're not doing it because you say, I mean, So it's up knee high or it's up this high.
Same concept with your hair. Phil doesn't cut hair or grass. It's identical, the same principle.
So
from time to time, I get the little redneck girl living up the road. She'll come down there, and if it starts getting in my way, you're hanging up on vines and whatnot. You know?
But nobody's noticing.
Yeah, we didn't really notice. No.
I'm pretty sure that the same little redneck girl is the one who's cut my hair the couple times since I've been here.
Oh, yeah. That's
yeah, we have the same. We have
Cricket.
The same person.
Cricket.
Cricket. That's Cricket. The one.
Barber.
Jason's like, he didn't never heard of Cricket. So,
now, but I knew she was a redneck because when she said, I'm Cricket. Okay.
She didn't have to say anything.
You're not far from here.
She's awesome, by the way.
She's sweet.
She's really awesome.
I love the name.
She's great. So tell Tony and Phil's dad, when you were at Louisiana Tech and you and mom were living in Vetville and you had me, and what did the dean of, was it dean of housing or something? Somebody came and paid you a visit. I've heard you tell that story.
Yeah, I've told it was the dean of men.
Dean of men.
So, when somebody says you have to go to the dean of men's office, that means there's a problem.
The dean of men? Do they have a dean of women? One of the students
at a major university.
Just for men.
If you are dictated and told, go to the dean of men's office 10 o'clock on Friday morning, that means there's a problem.
Okay, serious
So
question.
I go in ready for the problem, and I thought, why would he be wanting to talk to me for?
Did they have a dean of women?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I sit down there, and I'm like, yes, sir. He said, Phil, he said, what's the sign on your road that you live on? Do you remember the street you live on? What's that street called? I said, let's see, Scholar Drive. He said, Scholar Drive. He said, the president of the university had some dignitaries over, and we're driving by, and we're driving on Scholar Drive. And as we passed each student's house, we were impressed with, you know, their yard work and all. But when we got to your house, he said, Phil, I don't know how to say this. He said, but it's not a good reflection of Louisiana Tech. It's just, I said, you mean all my equipment? He said, I mean all of that junk. So, I said, well, what in the world do you want me to do about it? He said, get it out of sight.
No junk on Scholar Drive.
No junk. So he was trying to get me to. So that's one of the.
Have you ever heard that story?
That was one of the greatest lessons I ever learned while going to college. Always have a neat yard or you can't pass this test.
And you have 2 degrees in Louisiana.
All he was talking about was decoys, nets,
aluminum
boats. Motors.
That needs to be your next book. Look, no junk on Scholar Drive.
That's it.
That has a great ring to it.
Well, and you learned that lesson because your whole life has never looked like that again. The junkyard on Scholar Drive.
One time the coaches came and paid me a visit, and I'd happened to shot a deer out of season, which out of sight, out of mind. So when they knock on the door, Miss Kay said,
hey, coach,
how y'all doing? So 2 or 3 coaches walk in there, and then going into the bedroom, I had a hook up in the doorway, and I had the deer hanging there, and I was skinning the deer.
With the number 3 washtub.
Of course, it was blood and guts coming out of the deer inside the house. They said, what are you doing? I said, out of sight, out of mind, boys. I said, sometimes you got to clean them where no one knows you're cleaning them.
Until there's a knock on the door.
They're still talking about that one.
So it's at the risk of sounding like Skip Cuvion, I can remember that duplex we lived in.
Yeah.
And I still remember that thing you're talking about that was between those 2 doorposts where those deer would hang, because that wasn't the only time it ever happened. So it was really interesting because I was there till I was 4 years old. So I can remember Bradshaw coming by. I mean, you just had those kind of flashes of memory that happened during that period of time. So
it's hard to be a woodsman and receive a college education simultaneously.
And yet you did it.
Huh? Hey, I pulled it off.
And a fisherman. Let's take a quick break. So one of the things we found out about running a business, Phyllis used to run a nursing
home
place, home health
company.
Yeah, so... You know, small businesses, part of the problem is now you got so much stuff going on with wrongful lawsuits and all these regulations that you have to have somebody do human resources. Well, if you got a big company, You might can pay a guy or a gal $70,000 a year, but if you're a small business, what do? You know, you can't hardly do anything. So we got a company here that sponsors the podcast called Bambee, B-A-M-B-E-E. And basically, they're going to dedicate an HR manager by phone, by email, real-time chat. I mean, basically, you can get it reasonable and you can afford it. It's month to month, no hidden fees. You cancel anytime, $99 a month. So if you want to check these guys out, if this hits where you're needing as a small business, you go to Bambee, Bambee.com/Robertson, and you get a free HR audit. So it's Bambee.com/Robertson.
Well, what I was going to say, just to supply some spiritual, and the reason I turned to Acts 17, I think here, now I have a new sister and her husband, Tony, who is an artist. No problem. Weirdness is in our family. You figured
which
that
is
out.
Why we love Tony so much. He just fits right
and
in.
When I was doing my research, because it was exciting, about my new sister, I'm like, okay, they spent 5 years in Nicaragua. I had just acquired a Nicaraguan daughter. And you just happened...
He didn't buy her, people.
You just happened to be in Nicaragua while we were doing our silly show that did... God used to plant a seed in over 100 countries that it's okay to pray together to a real God as a family. But it made me think of this verse. You know, here we are today talking about this in Acts 17, which is probably one of my most used verses, especially when I'm sharing Jesus with someone for the first time, because they're asking themselves or have thought about many times, how did I get here and why am I here? Mm-hmm. And when you read Acts 17, I think it makes sense. It brings some clarity to unanswered questions in our life. So what he said was, he says, Acts 17:26, he says, from one man God made every nation of men that they should live on the earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us.
That's great.
It does. This is really interesting. It does. Because a lot of times you're like, well, how did this happen? Why did this happen? How did it all end up here? And then you read that and you think, oh, okay. It was God's plan, even though it might look confusing to us along the way.
Well, which is a question I have for both of y'all. So, that was a perfect segue to it, Jay. So, you know, now that we know each other so well, and I'm still learning history, as every time we're together, we talk about growing up. I meet more of Tony's family this last time, so I learned more about your childhood. So it seemed like to me God's favor was on both of you, and I know you fellas for sure. Again, Jace is right, outside of our inability, we don't have the ability to see around time, so we can only just do the years as they go along. Obviously, God had the whole, he knew everything that was going to happen. But you guys, I mean, you really shouldn't be as, I used to use the word normal with this crowd, but you shouldn't be as set as you are, both faith-wise and all that, based on how you grew up. I mean, it's just, and we talk about a lot in our family. Dad and I both shared our testimony this week on another podcast. So, how did that happen? I mean, where do you think that came from? What was driving you? Because Phyllis, you literally did it on your own. I don't know about Tony's beginnings, but I know yours was that way.
I just have to, we did find one scripture. I forget where we found that scripture about generation after generation. It seems to me that when you gave your heart to Christ in 75, while I was still in my mother's womb, that grace that was poured out over you and over your family as the leader of your family, it's like God knew that I was there and existed.
Somehow extended to
and
you.
And it extended to me, because otherwise it doesn't make a whole lot of sense being the way that I was. The way that I wanted to go to church, the way that I wanted to serve God, the way that I approached life. And then just some things, we were talking about it yesterday, just how differently I view the world. So some of it I think is just genetics. Some of it I think is God's grace. And I've always known that God had his hand on me. I didn't know why. I just thought, okay, well, I met Tony, someone who'd already, I wanted to be in missions. Met him our first date. He's already been to Japan. He had lived with a pastor. He taught English as a segue to the gospel. So we talked about hey, wow, met another Christian, met somebody who wants to serve Christ on the mission mm-hmm. field. Like, this is looking like, you know, a perfect match. And we did short-term mission trip after short-term mission trip after short-term mission trip, and finally went on the mission field full-time to Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. Like you said, we love Karina, by the way. She's adorable.
Yeah.
And we, it's just like, I thought God just was preparing me for the life that he had set before me, but it seems like 2020, there's more. There's more maybe here to this story that God wants to do. So there have been great people and still are great people in my life who are influencers in my life. But there was a lot of hardship. There was a lot of hardship. And so, but God just got me through it. God got me through it.
You know, somebody, that podcast we did this week, Dad, I thought Ken made an interesting point I'd never thought about. We talked about who would you say are the greatest men of the Old Testament, you know, and you think, well, if you could pick three. And so I was like, well, Abraham, Moses, you know, the people you, but he, and then he said three, it was Daniel, Job, and somebody else. And he said,
Elijah,
and it was people who had been under extreme duress and had the ability to overcome that and still be faithful, you know, to God. And I thought, man, that's a really interesting point. You know, we look at greatness in different ways. Sometimes greatness is enduring mm-hmm. and still having a faith, you know, which is powerful, which is sort of your life. What about you, Tony? I mean, because we talk a lot on this last trip
right.
about some of the difficulties you have. What about on the faith side? Where did that
sure.
come into play?
Growing up, I grew up with a little brother about 20 months younger than me, and mom took us to church every Sunday. And so I grew up with learning a foundation, having a biblical foundation, going to Sunday school, learning all the Bible stories and learning scripture. And I, too, felt like that somehow, and it was kind of hard to really put it in words, but just felt that God had his hand on my life, just that he was kind of there. And, you know, my late teen years, I kind of got a little restless, and just church just wasn't filling me anymore, just wasn't meeting my need. And so I decided to go to another church. And there I heard at the age of 19, I heard the gospel for the very first time. Mm-hmm. So how can you go 19 years in church without hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ? And you can. You can go to church every week and still not really get it. Right. And so I heard it in a very concise, easy-to-understand way. And so I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And from there, I was involved, active in church. And so we have, you know, different backgrounds. I'm from Iowa, and she's from Louisiana. And I grew up in the same house for 21 years, and in fact, actually the house that my mom grew up and lived in.
Wow.
And so it was very stable like that. And
we moved every 2 or 3, 4, 6 months from the time I was born.
So when did you know you were artistically inclined?
Oh, ever since I could remember. I got serious with art at the age of 10 because my parents, for my birthday, got me a Master Art Studio set. And I still have the picture today of this big box on my lap. And
so they must have seen something before.
Yeah.
They noticed that.
Ever since I could remember.
You were drawing, you know, stuff.
Drawing and painting instead of going out and, you know, I went out and played some ball, played in the yard.
That's a gift.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like, you know, playing a guitar, you know, Jubal's.
I mean, I was wondering if we were going to get to Jubal.
Back to Jubal. Genesis.
Jubal.
You need to find the one who is the artist.
I did. And
but if you watch artists like you, you're like, how in the world?
If you don't have the gift, you have no idea how they do it.
That's it.
I mean,
so that just came to you early.
It did. And, you know, and we had that conversation, the father of musicians today, Jubal, and there is a guy back in, and I didn't prepare for this, you know, so I can't remember his name. But
we're not prepared. We've been preparing for this our whole lives. So.
We've been preparing for being unprepared. That's what we're
doing. But God actually, gosh, it was Genesis or Exodus, God called him out by name and said, you know, you're going to build the tabernacle and, you know, the Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to have Moses, I'm going to have this guy do this. And can't help to think that he might be the father of artists today.
Of the artists, yep. Yeah. Because there was a lot of beautiful stuff that definitely went along with everything that you saw. And, you know, and you're right, God gave all those instructions. Sometimes we're a little bit harsh on structures and things like that. But, you know, God asked for most of those to be built. There were reasons why, because he was preparing us for what we have now, which now we are the artwork of God. We're the holy temple. You know, we're the thing that sings the praises. You know, it's not just that structure anymore. So it's kind of interesting how he does it. Let's take another break. So I got a great Christmas idea, Christmas gifts idea. Oh, and you great. Have two sons.
Tell Phil. He'll.
So one of our sponsors, Duke Cannon, has the coolest stuff. Soaps. This one's called Working Man's Face Wash. There's some bloody knuckles there. But they've got some special ones for the Christmas. So listen to these two, Jace. One is called a grooming gift. It's called Frothy the Beer Man gift set. So
is that like a gag gift to all our
friends? Oh, no, this is the real deal. But it would be a good gag gift, maybe decide. Yeah. So here's one I know you'll love. Beards That Stole Christmas gift set, which has got all kinds of cool soaps and stuff like that. So it's a really cool idea. Their stuff is high quality. It's all I use now for soap. Really good. So anyway, we'll check these guys out, especially before Christmas. You go to, let's see. Okay. You go to Duke Cannon. One word, DukeCannon.com. Use the promo code HOLIDAYPHIL, and you get 10% off your next order. Free shipping if it's over $30. So DukeCannon.com. Use the promo code HOLIDAYPHIL. Also, Target carries these, and we saw some at some other little
a gift shop.
Hole-in-the-wall gift shop somewhere.
And you immediately thought, that's a great gift idea for the boys.
That's going in my boys'.
There you go. I got this, and I said, man, I might have had that coronavirus because I popped this, and I smelled it. I said, I can't even smell it. And I looked down and it said, fragrance free. So no wonder I didn't smell it.
No corona for you. DukeCannon.com. So I wanted to, we told the story on the podcast when you were here, Phyllis. I mean, the first go through. Mm-hmm. But there were a couple of things now that Tony's on here. I wanted to kind of revisit that because I was thinking about it knowing you guys were coming on. I thought, That was only like 10 months ago. I mean that seems super weird now.
We've only been here 3 months, three and a half months.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Actually, tomorrow marks the day that we've been in the year 2020, 5 years.
That's right. I think you're right. So I don't know if it's because of everything we've dealt with this year that I found that hard to believe that when this year started was when the process started for you to reach out to us. And so I made a note of this. So December 29th, 2019, which was a Sunday, Dad, you preached at Whites Ferry Road. It was somebody wanted to do a State of the Union. Jace poo-pooed that. So we got... he wasn't even paying attention.
Well, I was looking up this verse. It's
you're looking at
Exodus 31.
Yeah, he's looking at a stock market. That's what he's got.
Exodus 31.
Where's the stock market at,
up or down?
I'm up. I was looking up your verse, which is Exodus 30.
Okay.
Oh, it's great.
No, it says, where was it? Just had it. It says, and he is filled. This is Exodus. Hold on. Is it 31?
I'm glad you looked
31
it up.
Says to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and in bronze. But 35, Exodus 35 says, he has filled them with skill to perform every work of an engraver and of a designer and of an embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet material and fine linen. Yeah. So I'm like, so it was
all
I was checking you. I was making sure you just wasn't throwing that out. No, I didn't remember.
You know, somewhere in the Bible it says, how many times have you heard people leave?
Now, what is this about the State of the Union? What are you talking about?
So I was setting the stage to tell a story about the Sunday that you guys came with your boys because you were visiting family in Louisiana.
Tell me that wasn't a plan from God.
Oh, it has to be. And so, and of all the days.
But you're talking about I'm poo-pooing on the State of the Union. Let me give a PSA.
No, I was.
Is that a public service announcement?
I was saying that in a positive way.
During the holidays, but.
That was ordained.
I mean, I had to fight for this.
That's why I said
you
poo-pooed.
At our church for years, they've always had a, here's the state of the church at the end of the year. And so I marched up there as a volunteer member. I don't have any ties there. Nobody's paying me anything. And I said, why do we do this during the holidays of having a state of the church? And they're like, do you have a problem with that? I was like, yeah. And they said, why? I said, nobody cares. I said, all these people from holidays, people, family come in from all over the world and they have to sit here and listen to the state.
I've never
of our
seen
church.
Him more animated.
It will get
so they were like, that. How do you really feel about it, Jace? I said, why don't we have a celebration of Jesus since it's during the holidays and it's the time between Christmas and New Year's so you can focus on Jesus, get fired up, and then make some changes. And they said, fine with us. You do it.
But so, that's the first thing. If you come in with saying, I've got a better idea, then as a volunteer, the next thing's going to be at our church is, then you do it.
Mm-hmm. So I called Phil, and that's how that happened. But I didn't know God was working kind of from the big
picture. So we both spoke?
Yeah.
Well,
I did the Lord's Supper, and you did the sermon.
Jace was in charge.
Well, yeah,
it's the first time in the history of Waysbury Road that Jace has been in charge of a Sunday morning. I was gone. All the other guys were gone. Trent was gone. We had him.
Which back. I figured out why they do the state of the church.
Because everybody's gone.
Week, because they're all gone, so they don't have to listen to it.
Everybody's,
I said, it's literally like, I mean, I ripped it. I gave you the clean version, but I was like, have you ever heard dogs howling in the middle of the night? And yes. I was like, that's how uncomfortable.
We have a blue healer.
Yeah. I said,
so
what
get
about.
To the point, so, Jason, what happened on that
day? I'm upset about this.
He said, well, right before you get to the point, I got to say, when he was going through that whole thing, it reminded me of Steve Martin in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. When he's just ripping into John Candy, he says, you know, when you tell your little stories, here's something, have a point. Yeah. It's so much more meaningful to the listener.
I should have used that.
That was pretty good. All right, so I was setting the stage till Jace goes off on the rant when we woke him up. That Sunday, you were preaching. Jace was running the whole assembly in place of State of the Union.
I did the Lord's Supper.
And what y'all, what neither one of you knew was that in the audience that day was your daughter, who he had no idea about yet, and Tony, and their two boys.
No, it was just us.
Who I met.
It was just y'all. I thought it was
him. Now, y'all talk about that. You know, I've already apologized
for this. I want to tell the story because we hadn't told that.
I had to apologize to y'all because I meet a lot of people everywhere. Right. And so.
You were so friendly.
And see, at that point, we didn't have much of a frame of reference for what that probably looks like to you on a normal basis because.
But start with the part about you not getting out of the car.
So we had a letter prepared to bring to you, because I just wanted to protect your privacy and just let you.
You'd already
a
mailed two copies.
Yes, I sent one to the church. I sent one to the business, and then I wanted to hand deliver one because
I wound up with both of them. By the way, in a weird turn of events,
you and not him. That's really, you know, God does what God does.
Because the first one I never opened, and so I got a second one.
That's why we did three.
Would we have met you all sooner if we hadn't? If you were there and we handed the letter to you,
yeah,
probably,
yeah,
maybe.
Hey,
I mean, no offense.
Don't put him up on a pedestal.
You did awesome, Jace. You did exactly what you're supposed to do. So we drove down, and it was because we had kind of looked around the Waysbury Road Church of Christ website, and we were looking to see, you know, how can we get a letter to you. And when we were doing that, we found that you would be preaching that Sunday. And I'm like, well,
we were
coming down anyway to visit an old friend of ours. So we stopped in and we went to church there. We pulled up in the parking lot, though, and I was nervous. Oof. And I was just like, do I do this? Mm-hmm. Like, what, you know, this is, and looking around and people are walking into church with
first
full
time.
Beards and camo. And I'm like, these folks are actually coming. They look like Doug Dynasty looking people. And I'm
we
like,
started a movement. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you did. And they knew you were there. And I think you had people come in to visit.
A ton. Well, to Jace's point, it's a great day to have a dad up.
By the way,
they were
the
excited.
Attendance was way up.
I'm sure we'll do it from now on.
It was great. It was great. But I was still nervous. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. Take deep breaths. He's the guy who's like, come on, you can do this. So we make it from the car through the parking lot and inside. And then I just feel like exposed. I don't know the better word for it. But
so when you see me walk out, you knew. Did you know, or do you just think I have some gray beard?
Oh, I knew who you were. Yeah. I knew who you were. You had also armed guards around you.
There's a thing on the internet. You can look up images of actual people, and it is the exact pictures all over the internet. They are pictures. So she.
Well, I love worship. We've talked about that some. I love worship. I've led worship. Been on worship team for 20 something years, and so. When we got there and we were seated, you all were practicing before service started. So before service ever started, they were going over their song that they were going to, their special song.
And I actually
song.
Was there. I wasn't, because I was in charge of that.
Right.
Missy and I.
Yeah.
So that was
it was
while we
awesome.
Were there.
It was very settling. It was very calming. You know, you just have that atmosphere, begin to have that atmosphere of worship. And so I really think that helped just to kind of settle my nerves a little bit. But then when it was time, you did come in. I'm like, there's these guys around him. I'm not thinking I'm just going to walk up and hand you a letter.
Yeah, especially right before he speaks.
So anyway, the service goes on. And at one point, Tony's like, are you going to go give the letter? And then the service is over. And then you were out.
She was.
And I was like, You know,
I that doesn't hang around to chit chat.
I'm like, what am I? And I guess I just kind of took one of those big deep breaths and pulled up my britches and said, I'm going to go give the litter to
focused.
You. I'm like, yeah. I'm just doing it. And I got up and I walked and just kind of like blinders on. And
yeah, I got out of her way and she's just making a beeline for the front.
So you were super friendly. I handed you, I said, hey, I have this letter for your dad. It's really important to me. Could you make sure he gets it? Sure, sure. And you kind of patted Tony on the shoulder. Man, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we're
so, I have no memory of this.
You're like, it. We're so glad you came down. Where are you folks from? You know, we're from Missouri. And okay, great. We're so glad to have you. You're thinking, man, this was a success,
so,
what you decided to do.
So hang on, fellas. Let's take a break. So I can't think of a better ad sponsor for our podcast today with you guys here than Ancestry.com. I mean, based on our whole conversation, right? I mean, if it wasn't for them, you know, we wouldn't even know who you are. You know, you guys were doing obviously a huge search. And really, it's interesting because it started out with you guys. It was just Grant, your oldest son, who was looking to find out about, you know, his heritage and ethnicity and all that. And so, well, like a lot of people do, it's just interesting and we want to find out where we're from. And this goes down a rabbit hole for you that you didn't know that winds up, you find out.
Julie bought for him for a Christmas gift.
Really?
In 2017.
All right. So look.
So be careful what you wish for.
That's right. Be careful. But at the same time, it, you know, it's obviously an awesome gift for us. So that's the Christmas gift that keeps on giving. So if you want to check these guys out to check out your ancestry, they got some special holiday pricing right now. So you want to check these guys out. Ancestry.com/Phil. Ancestry.com/Phil. You get your Ancestry health kit today, and who knows, you may find out you have some family you didn't know. And so just so you know, which now we know we're all family, but so hundreds of people have done what you just
That's
said.
That's why I don't remember.
No idea.
I mean, zero memory. I mean,
can
zero.
You give this to Miss Kay? I'm her biggest fan.
Oh,
and so
see,
I'm from Wisconsin.
I'm really?
I mean, it's just
more
so,
than hundreds. More than hundreds.
Probably thousands. Yeah. So just so you know.
See, and I just really didn't realize that. I
and
know
I think
more
that's
now,
common. I mean, because you know, a day in the life is that every day. I don't think I've gone a day without signing something or.
Right.
In my life, in the last 10 years. So it just, it
so
all
when
rose
did you,
together.
When did anyone get around to reading the note? Well,
not
that
too long after that.
Particular copy, I never read. I have no
it's
memory
still
of
in a
where
Bible
it's
somewhere.
At.
You
I'm
put
sure
it in
it's
a bag.
Somewhere.
There's a bag that you had sitting
on
the
You're
going to
find it somewhere.
Somewhere.
Well, if you find
property.
It, you can totally disregard it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
We've worked it out.
I never opened
We got
it.
In touch.
So here's
Who had it and gave it to me?
So here's
well,
what happened.
Then there was another copy that served.
See, we made multiple copies.
And then I had a copy
when
that
I
got
When I was coming down to do the podcast, maybe a couple weeks later.
It was 2 weeks later.
I stopped in to Duck Commander to get something because I occasionally stop there. Well, they handed me your mail and said, can you give this to Phil? Which they shouldn't have gave it to me because when I got down here and saw, I forgot about that. We're back again. So if we did the podcast, you left. And when I walked back out of my truck, I thought, oh, I got Phil's mail. And back then we didn't meet where we do now. We were at a different location. Right. So I got it and handed it to Al.
Yep.
And Al opened it and started reading it I even left.
I had actually already opened the copy you sent to the church.
Oh, okay.
When you brought the mail in, I was reading it. And you said, here's the same letter.
Oh,
that's
that
what
it?
Happened. Yeah.
Oh,
so okay. So we both had a copy. So I look at it and I'm just kind of like, there's DNA. Oh, yeah. These people think they're related to us. Yeah. And then I look down and I was like, and I just set it aside and I started looking through some more stuff. So then Jace is reading it. He said, well, they're saying more than they're related to us. This person says she's Phil's daughter.
Yeah.
Then I look back at it.
And I skimmed to the picture, though. And I said, I think you ought to look into this.
So I look
something kind of hit me there.
So I look back at it. So here's what. So I said, oh, no, Jace. It says 1975.
Yeah, that's what's so funny.
I said 75. He was a Christian in 75. This wouldn't have happened after he came to the Lord. And I said, these people, you know. And no, that was it. And so, like, another.
But remember, I started
but then Jace
doing
was
the
like,
math.
No,
I said, I don't know. That would work. I said, there was a few months in the transition. Because I was remembering, it wasn't like when you came to the Lord. all the mischief stopped. It was a little bumpy, I think was my phrase.
Would you say, Dad, you zigzag a little bit?
I said, it was bumpy. And I said, I'm telling you, that picture, just something is telling
me. So I was like, okay.
I felt strongly about it.
So I didn't throw it away, thank the Lord. I just left it laying right there on this table in your bedroom now. And so the next week we came back to do the podcast, I picked it up again. And Jason decided, so I said, Jason, before Dad got there that time, and I said, I'm going to look into this and see. Maybe I can figure something out. And so that's where the process started. It was another week before I talked to Zach, and we tried to figure out how to do it and all that.
I want to say this. I honestly think me meeting y'all indirectly, because I didn't know, because you didn't tell me that's who you were. But I think when I saw the picture.
Oh, maybe it did. I hadn't thought about that.
I just think there was something, because I thought at the time, I guess God just was like, telling me, because I remember having that feeling that day when I read that and looked, and I said, Al, I think you ought to look into this.
Yep.
So maybe it was, since I just met you, when you look at
it could have been, or just, like I said, God orchestrates where we're supposed to live, where we're supposed to be.
That's right.
So it took a few weeks to make it all happen, but then when we finally got the DNA test, and that obviously confirmed it. But it was funny, because Jace can tell you this too, by our conversations before we met you, both by text, you and I text each other pretty much every day, and then even our phone conversations. I mean, I knew then, like, it was never a question of not knowing, even before we got the test result. And so I feel like it's the strangest thing, because there is DNA, there is all that there. And once you can get, you know, once you accept that truth, that it really is true, then it's like it's natural. And I tell people all the time that the weirdest thing for me is that we've never had an awkward moment, not when we met you, not when we were talking, setting up the time. I mean, it just, to me, it always felt right once we established the connection. So it's just something about
that. I don't know when I called you in the batting order.
It was after the worship conference.
You were on your
way
home.
You had been at a worship conference and you were done.
But I didn't know how much of the family you had met.
I think you may have been the last one. Willie sent me a text. Jep. Yeah. Called with a group of people that called.
But I'm saying I called you just in, I don't know if you had talked to anybody like without text or whatever. But I remember we talked for like an hour.
Right.
And I was like, I felt like Al. I was like, oh, she's my sister. I remember telling Missy, I was like, if I'd have had that conversation first, I was like, I could have saved him some money on a DNA test. Because it was just, I just knew. Which is to me what I try to share the same principle about Jesus. It's like when I first was looking into following Jesus, I hoped it was true. I was trying to prove it wrong, but once I experienced, you know, being in Jesus, I'm like, oh, I know he's from God. It was like, because people say, how do you have that confidence? But it's the same thing. That's why this is relationship oriented. Once you get to know somebody, it kind of clears up all the loose ends.
So, I think you're right. And, you know, it's funny. So we went on a trip with Phyllis and Tony fairly early. Well, it was right before COVID, right before the country shut down, and we were in Branson together. And Phyllis, you know how Willie takes his toes and overlaps them all of his toes? Because he's been doing it since he was a kid.
Anything will show up on the podcast.
That was one of the many reasons that started many fights.
So listen to this, Jazz. You haven't heard this story. So Lisa looks over and she looks at me and she says, look at Phyllis's toes. Phyllis has overlapped all of her toes, and they're sitting on the coffee table, and she takes a picture of it, sends it to Willie, and Willie says, well, if you'd have sent me this back before the DNA, we'd have saved ourselves a lot of trouble. Same thing. It was so funny. It was so like, weird. I've never seen anybody do that but Willie, so there must have been something in there.
It's crazy.
Well, let's take one last break.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated.
so I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
This our last segment. I want to talk about your art, Tony. I want to let our folks know about it because the opportunity, because of you guys moving here now, the opportunity we've been able to have is that you've been able to really kind of dive into your artwork and really focus on it, you know, which has been great. Of course, you had two sons that got married. Now, this is the, I think we've talked about the print before. Can we get a good look? Yeah, there it is.
Awesome.
For those of you watching it, tell us first this particular painting, why you painted it, and who you gave it to.
Sure. We knew that we were going to meet you all for the first time back in, it was February 21st. So we decided that, you know, we want to bring a gift, bring something upon the first time meeting. So I painted this oil painting here of a wood duck and presented it to Phil and Miss Kay as a gift. Yeah. And so... it hangs now in Miss K's private collection, which is a
boy. That...
I knew that was gonna, which means it's hanging on her wall in her living room,
right behind her chair,
right behind her chair. And I've had a lot of people comment on it, so I thought, you know what, I'm gonna make some prints of this. And so,
and I was unsure about that at first. I'm like, that's special. That's just for them. And he's like, but people really love that.
Right.
So he asked her, and of course, you know, Miss K's like, oh, sure. Make copies or print.
So you got a limited edition. You're doing 500 of them. 500 prints.
Limited edition.
And then mom and dad are going to sign every print.
Everyone. It's not a digital.
It's the best portrait of a wood duck that I've ever seen.
It's just like one. It's,
I mean, and look,
I hope you're watching.
And he's got a little reflection of him down here on the water, which was a nice little touch.
Yeah. As an art connoisseur.
Yeah. No doubt it was such
hard to do.
Listen to this, yeah.
So
they're not digital signatures. The actual signatures,
correct.
Phil and Ms. K, and myself as the artist. And each one is signed and numbered. And limited edition, 500.
Yeah. So tell folks how they can get them.
Sure. If you go to TonyThomasArt.com, and it's right there on the website. You click on it, you buy it, and after you click on checkout, just add Phil in the discount code, and I'm offering 20% off.
There you go. Unashamed listeners, you got a good deal on top of that, which is awesome. And I wanted to be sure and tell folks about it before Christmas because it'd be a great gift to somebody.
I mean, artists are weird, but you have to have them.
I mean,
you need them.
And obviously, we've established from Exodus that God is the one who invented it. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I had to look it up.
Its foundation.
Well, first,
God created the heavens and the earth, so he's a creator. It's beautiful. He is the greatest artist of all time.
I like where you're going with that.
And,
that's what I was thinking.
Well, we don't have enough time for all of that.
You're right on target.
Yeah, he is the greatest artist of all time. And, you know, where we get the elements and the principles of design, the elements of art today, comes from God's creation.
Correct.
You know, line, color, shape, form, and all those things.
Let's face
its foundation
Jace,
is in God.
Yeah.
Salt water could not have... What department in salt water put that kind of color on a bird, a duck? That's just one of many.
Luck? That would be the department in salt water.
And what department in salt water then gave the guy the ability to then paint it where it looked exactly like the actual bird?
That would also be in the luck department.
I mean, come on. It's just too much, right?
I was trying to think of a department that I no longer use. You know, the longer I've been in Jesus, the less I use the word luck. But if you were saying that it was built from salt water, well, that would be a major department. Luck.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
okay. So you also did, which I was able to observe, both your painting of it and then your giving it. You did portraits. Your two sons got married this year.
And those were amazing.
When
I saw that, I thought it was somebody had taken a picture, and I thought, well, that's neat.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, he painted that? Because you would never believe someone actually painted that.
So if it's and if it's okay with you, we'll show a picture of that to our audience.
Yeah, sure.
Tell them how long it took you to paint it.
So about each one took me about 5 or 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's
painting
what I'm
almost
saying.
Every day.
You don't just let me knock this one out for you.
But those are of some size. Those are like 24 by 30. Those
really,
take a while.
Really,
you know,
impressive.
Well, it was such
level.
A beautiful to me. It was such a beautiful wedding gift to your kids because. You know, both the pictures that you used to then do the painting, it captured them so brilliantly, like their personalities. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really well done. And I mean, what better thing could you give them than your ability and your art?
And and as an artist, that's what you try to do. You're not just trying to, you know, I work off of photographs. People ask me that all the time. Well, can I send you a photo and do a painting? And so, yeah, there's a place on my website. You can click on custom painting, mm-hmm. submit a photo, and I'll give you a quote. But I try to go beyond that to capture their personality, who they are, try to capture the essence of what's going on, the type of event. Is it romantic or is it lively or whatever?
And I think that's the difference, Tony, for me. I mean, I'm no, you know, art person. But when I saw, like, you painted one of an older gentleman, and he had, like, one of those either World War II or Korean veteran hats.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was somebody commissioned you to do it. It was her dad or whatever. But when you were working on it, and when you finished that, I looked at that, and it was interesting because I could just look at a picture and think, oh, yeah, it's an old guy was a Korean vet. But when I saw your painting, I felt more connected to who this person was. You used to look at it and you think, man, this old guy, he was probably patriot through and through, somebody's grandpa. I mean, mm-hmm. like it brings out more to life in a painting, you know? And think about it, paintings were around, obviously, way longer than photographs.
Right.
I mean, in the day, that's how you knew. So.
And you're trying to capture what's important. For that painting, maybe his hat was important because that says who he is. Right. Maybe if I did a portrait of Jace, maybe it's his beard, maybe it's his hat or something about it, or maybe it's someone's hands. That says a lot about them, and that's what you're wanting to capture.
Oh yeah, which is right. And you don't really nobody taught you that, right? I mean,
no.
That just was there, right? And it's just developed as you've gotten older.
You know, people say all the time, "Oh, you're so talented and everything," but I just have to say, it is 100% a gift from God.
Right.
I mean, you have to work. You have to work in that process, and you have to develop it. But it is a God thing. So
I'm
very thankful for that.
I don't know why this story popped into my head, but I remember Si telling a story about he was dating some girl, and he brought her to meet the family and one of his aunts that I don't think we never got to know. She would always just say something nice about everything. And Si was like, but I'm going to tell you, I like this girl, but she's ugly. You know. And he said, I was wondering, what is she going to say? I mean, because Si telling the story, he was probably embellishing on how ugly she was. And I was like, well, Si, why were you with her? He's like, that's not the point. So he gets there with her, and he said, here she came with the aunt. She said, you have such a beautiful, and Si's like, I was on the edge of my seat saying, what is he going to say? You have a beautiful neck. He said, I knew right then.
Yep. You can find something
nice
to
say. You can find something positive. That's the artist. He was highlighting mm-hmm. the neck.
What's important. Right.
That's right.
He's skilled at that, by the way.
Yeah.
He can actually say something positive about something. The rest of us are like going, He's like, oh, but this is wonderful. He can do that pretty
so,
quickly.
So, Tony, anything else for that?
Yeah, I was going to say, going back to the wood duck print, we get a lot of emails, a lot of letters coming in talking about how meaningful it is, which I didn't think that would even happen. Someone would write in, send us an email and say, hey, I heard your wife's story. I found my dad too, and I really want to buy that, you know, wood duck print because it's a symbol of that event, reconnection. That's a good word. Of redemption, of forgiveness.
Awesome.
And I had another person write in and said that her and her husband was going through a rough patch. And she referred to it. She says, I want to buy your wood duck print. Referred to it as a beacon of hope. And she wanted it in her home because it was a symbol that that God's not finished yet.
Wow.
And so that's really, I mean, that's more than art, you know, to me.
That's
meaningful.
Yeah.
That's
art and ministry.
And so I'm very thankful for that.
I think that's awesome. The whole reason God decided to put Jesus on the cross. Because when you see a cross now,
That's right.
It goes to
which is interesting because you're right. From a Christian's view, I mean, that's a torturous, terrible. It'd be like an electric chair if you just looked at it for what it does. But when you think about what it held, that's why it's been such. How much artwork includes crosses now? For the last 2,000 years.
He's taken me to Italy, and I can tell you
more than you want to see in a trip. Right?
1,000 paintings with crosses in it.
Well, you know that went by fast.
It did.
I'm glad y'all came. We'll
Thanks
just
for
have
having
to
us.
Update.
Glad
from
you
time
got to see
time.
Me.
I'm glad I got to see you too. So check out TonyThomasArt.com.
Right.
So check it out and get one of those prints if you'd like for Christmas.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Unashamed Podcast. Help us out by rating us on iTunes. And don't miss an episode by subscribing on YouTube, and be sure to click that little bell to get notified about new episodes. And for even more content that you won't get anywhere else, subscribe to Blaze TV at blazetv.com/unashamed.